It's time I brought my timer so that I don't have to ask Bruce how much time I have left. So you're at liberty to relax with that, Bruce. Although he's been better than AI over the weekend, I got to tell you, he's been spot on. So praise the Lord for that. This past couple of days, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and how he was part of our salvation. We see that in Hebrews chapter 6. He touched us. He enlightened us. We put our faith and trust in the gospel of Jesus Christ and we got saved. We discussed that redemption was an absolute miracle. No better miracle, no greater miracle can a human being experience apart from being born again. We also discussed that right after that, miraculous things start happening to us. The enemy no longer has a grip on us. Sin is no longer our master. We are under grace. The law no longer condemns us. There is no condemnation. We read in Romans chapter 1. We also saw that there was an incredible battle between the flesh and the spirit. We saw that in Romans chapter 8 verses 1 through 17. Once again, not to repeat myself, but to remind you that flesh was mentioned 13 times in the King James Version at least, spirit 15 times, just in 17 verses. So you know that there is something there to look at and pay attention to. And a great deal was concentrating on the power of the flesh. We saw in Galatians chapter 5 verse 17 that there is that war within. It exists. Just like we have the spirit within us, Paul in Romans chapter 7, he completely laid it out. What a contradictory force to the spirit the flesh really is. We see that, and we saw that in Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. In Romans chapter 8, we discussed also that one of the primary reasons for our existence on this side of heaven is to be conformed to the image of Christ. And the Holy Spirit empowers us to change, because regeneration is an important part of Christianity. To be conformed to the image of Christ means everything you used to be must die, and something new must sprout out from your faith. And the end product should be the Lord Jesus in each and every one of us. Our life should reflect the person of Jesus Christ, as his reflects the person of God. Book of Hebrews, we saw that. He's an exact representation of his image. And if that's so, then you've got to admit that that's quite the tall order to be like Christ. And we need divine intervention, divine help, divine power, and the Holy Spirit is that help to each and every one of us. Many times Romans 8:29 is used to, and rightfully so, to discuss that particular topic where it says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. But the fact of the matter is, that is not the only verse in the New Testament that speaks of being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. We see it throughout the scriptures, from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ himself many a times. I'll just mention a few. If you can go to John chapter 13, John chapter 13, too loud for you, am I?
No. It's in your face. So.
Yeah. John chapter 13, starting in verse 15, And you remember this particular situation in John chapter 13 where he's washing the feet of the disciples. And Peter was like, no, not me, you know, if I don't, Peter, then you have nothing to do with me. Then wash my whole body. Whoa, wait a minute. You know, that's not what is needed here. And, you know, we would go through that whole, issue here in John chapter 3. But what's really important is what he says afterwards in verse 15. For I have given you an example that you should do. You should do it. Do what? As I have done to you. What did he do? What did he not do? Right? I mean, he humbled himself. He served. He took the nasty, stinking fisherman feet of his disciples and he washed them between those nasty toes. How far the Lord Jesus Christ would go to show us how much we should serve. You remember what we said last night? Going after the spirit and or after the flesh, what the word after meant? It meant, I will do whatever it takes to get there. So if you're serving the flesh, if you're going after the flesh, you will do whatever it takes to satisfy the flesh. But if you're going after the Spirit, you'll do whatever it takes to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is one of us. Go down as low as you can go to lift others high and up to the Lord. Elders have a huge responsibility in that area, not to lord it over the flock, right? But to humble themselves, because the Word of God teaches us that he who humbles himself will be what? Exalted. By whom? Not me. By God. That's where he wants us. Why? Because it's a reflection of God. It's a reflection of Jesus Christ. And that's what we were talking about. The Holy Spirit's, one of his main ministries is to bring us to a family, that we would have a family resemblance of God, of Jesus Christ. That we should be a spitting image of God the Father and God the Son. That we should be the face of Jesus to a lost and dying world. Tall order. Yeah, it is. But the Spirit helps. But the Spirit helps. We go to John chapter 10. Well, you know what? Let's stay here in John chapter 13. Look at verse 34. This is the Lord Jesus. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. Listen. How? As I have loved you, that you also love one another. For what purpose? Well, we need to love one another because Jesus loved us, because he commanded us, period. That would be enough. But he added another. Besides the fact that that's a command that I give unto you, not a suggestion, not a hearty counsel, but a command from God, the Son himself, to love one another, he adds in verse 35, by this shall all men know. The way that you love your brothers and sisters in Christ, do others see and say, they're definitely Christians. I remember a small little assembly we had in Orange County, New York. This lady from across the street didn't know what was going on. She just saw that we would go there every Sunday, maybe on Friday, sometimes on Wednesdays for a Bible study. And we would be in the house for a while, and then we would be all over the place just hanging out, having food and fun or whatever. You know how Christians are, you know, fellowship and food, man. You know, that's just how we do it, you know. And so she came one day. On a Sunday, I believe it was. Was it a Sunday? A Sunday. And she just started coming and started joining us, you know. A couple of Sundays later, obviously, we approached her. So, hi. And what makes you join us? Not that you're not welcome. You certainly are. But what brings you here? I just kind of saw that the way you were with each other, it's just not normal. That's what she said. It's just not normal. I said, you're right. It's not normal. It's actually kind of divine. And so we explained to her, you know, explained the gospel. She got saved. Her son started coming. It was just a wonderful time. But people are looking. That's what I took from that. Like, oh my goodness. She was across the street and she was intently staring at what we were doing. Can you imagine if we were more concentrated and focused on our petty differences than our love for one another because of our love for Jesus Christ? We might have lost a soul. I mean, I'm sure Jesus, God would have orchestrated some other avenue to do it, but I kind of like being used by the Lord for that purpose, right? And so loving one another is evangelical in nature, is it not? It's a tract, a living tract to tell people this is what Jesus does to people. As a matter of fact, my wife, the guy that discipled me for a little while, Craig and Joy Yanni, Joy was just, I mean, she lived up to her name. That girl was always happy. Lisa was like, that's weird. All right, that's just like questionable. Nobody's ever that happy all the time. But she loved the Lord, still does to this very day. Craig loves the Lord, still does to this very day. And they were such examples. The times that I spent in his house, did we have good Bible studies? Yeah, we did. We really did. Did we have a good discipleship program? Yeah, we had this thing. If I recall, it was Designs for Discipleship by the Navigators. It was very good. It was a very good series, you know, and we did have some good discussions. But I watched the way he spoke to his wife. I watched the way that he was with his brothers, black, Latino, white, doesn't matter, hugged. There's this genuine love for one another from people from all kinds of different walks, jobs, having absolutely nothing in common except Jesus and Jesus Christ crucified, that they were born again. And I just learned so much by the way that they treated and talked to one another and how they prayed with such dependency upon the Lord Jesus, making him absolutely the center of everything that they did. It was a really amazing time in my life as a new believer. And I really do, you know, attribute a lot of my growth in the Lord Jesus by being with other believers in Christ, especially believers stronger than me. I was a newbie. I was a sponge. I was just sucking it up wherever I went, you know. And I went to every Bible study, whatever there was going on that had the name of Jesus on it, I was there. You know, it's just, I was just absorbing as much as I could from everybody. And that is a very good lesson for each and every one of us, because Jesus here says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. You're my followers. A disciple should reflect who his master is. That's biblical truth. Go to John chapter 10. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 10. My bad. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. And in Matthew chapter 10, in verse 24, this is what the Lord Jesus Christ says about that. The disciple is not above his master, nor a servant above his Lord. But look at this one. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master. That a servant be, right, as his Lord. We should be like him. We should reflect who he is. We should do things that he does. And if people would accuse us of anything, like they were accusing the Lord Jesus here, they could call me a Jesus freak. I'm like, amen. You got it. That's me. A Bible thumper, a holy roller, go for it. Those are compliments as far as I'm concerned. We have to be like the Master. Go to John. I'm sorry. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. And in 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, we read this. He that says, proclaims, professes, announces, proclaims that he abides in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. People say, well, how do you know people are saved? But you don't go around saying saved, unsaved, unsaved. So I'm like, look, I'm not God. I don't know the hearts and the minds of men. I just don't. But you show me somebody that's living for Jesus Christ, and I would say that if I was a betting Christian, and I'm not because I'm a good Christian, I would say that I'd put my bet on that guy or that girl. If they're walking like the Lord Jesus Christ and doing as Jesus Christ and serving Jesus Christ and exalting and worshiping Jesus Christ, look, if it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's probably not a hippo, right? Look, man, you walk like Jesus and talk like Jesus, you belong to the Master. You are reflecting who he is. That is the ministry of the Holy Spirit changing you. The process of regeneration, that you may decrease and he may what? Yes! There'd be more of Jesus than that man that's supposed to be dead and buried. That is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Interestingly enough, this word in verse 6 here in 1 John chapter 2, the word that says ought himself also, that word means to be in debt. Strange, isn't it? Like ought to do this. You don't think of that word as like debt. And for you Bible students, it's the Greek word 3784. If you want to look, you know, and examine it, you go right ahead. But it means be in debt. Look, honestly, right? Every single believer in the Lord Jesus can agree with this. We could never. We could never outgive God. We could never pay the Lord Jesus Christ for what he's done for us. But that's not going to stop me from living my life indebted to him and what he's done for me. I am his, and I will die one day just consistently in his debt. No, I won't be able to pay for what he has done for me, but I'm not going to sell him short either. I'm going to keep working and serving my Savior. And the more I serve the Lord Jesus Christ, the more I find myself having to know how Jesus did certain things so that I can do it the right way. Because whatever he does is the right way. He could never be wrong. He's absolutely perfect. He's absolutely God. And the way that he talks to his disciples, the way that he walks to his disciples, the way that he prays and he shows his disciples how to pray, these are the things that I want to do. Because he's got it right. He's God. And so I want to do that and certainly be more like him. And if I want to be more like Jesus, I want to know what motivated the Lord Jesus Christ. The love for his Father, for sure, right? Everything he did had that motive with him. One thing about Jesus Christ that you can absolutely know reading all of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and throughout the book of Acts, is that Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit were inseparable. Inseparable. We mentioned a catchphrase that some writer wrote. I don't know who it was. I'm not that bright. He said, from the womb to the tomb, the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ were inseparable. Turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 35, it says, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou art that are highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. That's kind of strange, isn't it? I would have been troubled at the vision of an angel. But she was troubled at what he said. And cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Why would he approach me like that? What is happening here? And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? She was a sharp cookie, wasn't she? how is this even possible? I'm a virgin. I've never been with a man before. Look at what the angel said. And the angel answered and said, The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing, and it could only be speaking about the Lord Jesus, which shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. This was a very special conception. You know that because he called him this holy thing, and some of your versions are holy child. I know that that was very distinct. Nobody's ever used that title before, because I know when I was born, my mother didn't look at me and says, another holy child. That was not the case. That was only said of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he was the Son of God. So here we have the Holy Spirit in the conception of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. And in Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18, we read, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take Mary to thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. You thought these verses were only for Christmas, right? But the Holy Spirit is very responsible, very much a part of the conception of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes in the telling of this story, in the reading of these verses, we lose fact of the incredible power and the incredible use and the incredible part and the miraculous things that the Holy Spirit did in the life of Jesus Christ. Both Mary and Joseph were told of this preternatural event. It was miraculous, right? Of the Holy Spirit. And here is the Holy Spirit in the Immaculate Conception. But there's the Holy Spirit also in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Like I said, you look at the Gospels and you study out the Gospels and you look at what the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ has done, you'll see how inseparable those two are throughout the Gospels and throughout the book of Acts. And in Mark chapter 1, verse 9, it says, And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway, coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. We saw that Mary had some similar experience where the Holy Spirit came down upon her. I don't believe that the Holy Spirit is in the form of a dove. He's not a dove. He's not a bird. I mean, if you have a dove in the picture in your house framed up about the Holy Spirit, that's cool. But it was the way that he came down, gentle and visible and pure. And immediately, look at what happened. And the Spirit like the dove descended upon him, and there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit drove him to the wilderness. The Spirit led him to the wilderness. Something powerful is about to go down. Go to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, starting in verse 1. And slowly but surely, you see the increase of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in the life, the presence of the Holy Spirit in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, the power in which he started doing everything. Look at what it says. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Jesus Christ was led to the war zone. He was about to do some serious battle with the enemy. I want you to think about that in your mind. Jesus was led to a place where him and Satan will go to war. Does the Holy Spirit lead you into battle? Most certainly does. I hope he does. Because if you were going to fight it alone, you're going to lose. You're going to lose. He led the Lord Jesus Christ to that battle zone. And clearly, he won. Because he's God. He's Jesus. And look at what it says in verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Holy Spirit to Galilee. The same Spirit he went in with, same Spirit he came out with. Inseparable in battle. You need to understand that when you do battle with the enemy, you need God. You need God. He who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. So avail yourself of that resource and ask God for the power of the Holy Spirit to defeat the enemy in the battle zone of your life. Each and every one of you might be going through a battle right now. We have different battles from time to time. Some of them small, some of them big, but there, listen, Jesus won the war, but those battles are real and they happen all the time. And you need to be reminded that there is a helper. That there is one who helps. There is one who leads. And what he's doing is conforming you to the image of Jesus Christ, who is a winner. Know that song? Jesus is the winner, man. He's the winner, man. You don't know that song? What? Oh, we gotta do that camp song here at Greenwood. You do it at Pine Bush. He is. He won. He won. And the Holy Spirit wants to reflect victory in Christ in your life and in my life. I love what happened in Matthew chapter 4. My absolute favorite part of the story is found in Matthew. Go to Matthew chapter 4 for a second. I think you're going to dig this. It's pretty good. I love the Word of God. You know, sometimes you read some things in the Word of God and you're like, wow, that must have been amazing, right? You just kind of wish you were there type of thing, you know, like, wow. And now, look what it says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 10. And now the axe is laid unto the root of the trees, therefore every tree that bend. No, that's not the one. Yes, sorry, I'm in the wrong chapter. Then said Jesus unto him, When all is said and done, when the enemy tempted Christ and Christ did not bite, he thought he was messing with Adam, he was messing with another person. So God manifested in the flesh, very different. And look at what happened. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord God, and him only shall that they serve. And look at verse 11. Then the devil left him. And you see then that the devil left him in other versions of the same story. But here, the devil didn't just leave. He was dismissed by the king. Love that story. The devil didn't just leave. He was told to get by the Lord Jesus Christ, the king, God manifested in the flesh. And then Satan left him. Jesus has that power over your life, you know. If we cling unto him, he fights with us and for us. You know, he doesn't just observe you in the fire. You know, he's in it with you. He's in that furnace with you. He wins. Wouldn't you like to go to the most difficult time in your job or a marital problem or a church situation that seems like there's no way to win this. It's going to happen. This church is going to split. And all of a sudden you walk down that aisle holding hand, your hand in hand with Jesus Christ. And hey, Jesus has something to say. Wouldn't that be something? It's true though. You can. The Lord Jesus Christ is in each and every one of us, and the power of the Holy Spirit is trying. He's trying to conform you to his image. You need to be aware of the presence of Jesus Christ in your life all the time. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, you can be reminded of everything that the Lord Jesus Christ has ever taught. If you would lead a Spirit-empowered life. Jesus and the Holy Spirit were inseparable. And we should be inseparable too. Sometimes I ask myself, and some people ask me, you know, I give them the best answer I can. Maybe a brother here has a better answer, but why would Jesus have to go through that battle? Why did we have to see that? Why was that a thing? Why was it recorded in Scripture? Clearly it was, and it was recorded for your benefit and for mine, so that we could know the Lord Jesus. And I think that it was written so that you can be absolutely 100% sure of the impeccability of the Lord Jesus Christ. He cannot sin. He will never bow down to the enemy. It's the other way around. He wants you to see that because you need to be absolutely 100% confident that Jesus Christ can be a winner in your circle. He will help you to fight the battles that you need to fight. And he was full of the Holy Spirit, and we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. We need to bank on him. We need to trust Christ. We need to trust that if he sent down his Holy Spirit when he left, it's because we needed it. We need it in the worst possible way. When you do things on your own, I mean, you guys know. You've done it. I've done it. Didn't end so well, did it? And it's never gonna. Not without the power of the Holy Spirit. What a beautiful thing that we get to see the impeccability of the Lord Jesus Christ as he's full of the Holy Spirit. And when you're full of the Holy Spirit and you want to be conformed to the Lord Jesus Christ and your desire is to be like Jesus, there's very little the enemy can do to you. There's very little because you're expected. You know that there's going to be a battle any day now. Don't drop your guards, because he's waiting. Don't satisfy the flesh. Don't make any provisions for the flesh, but provide for the Holy Spirit. You pray to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you ask him for the power to be a winner, and you will. Go to Luke chapter 4 again. Don't mean to have you flipping all over the Word of God, but I'm certainly not going to apologize for that. Love flipping around the Word of God. In Luke chapter 4, in verse 18, I'll go to verse 17. Now there was delivered unto him, the Lord Jesus, the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. You know, that place was Isaiah 61:1 or Isaiah 42. You'll see that there. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Jesus wanted us to see that he made that proclamation. Nothing in the Word of God is there by sheer coincidence or chance. This is divinely designed for us to understand, to look at the pattern of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was not shy. He was not intimidated. He had no sense of embarrassment at all to say that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That wasn't a pompous or arrogant statement. It was a statement of this is what's happening now. This is the power in which I'm going to do things that I'm about to do. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach. He's God manifested in the flesh. But you notice that from Genesis chapter 1, even the creation of the world and everything in it, they all were always in it together. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were always working together. In creation up until now, they have, they're working in the church, they're working in your life. The Holy Spirit and the Son are inseparable. They're not going to work independently to get something done. They do it together. Let's not ignore the Holy Spirit. Acknowledge that He was sent by the Lord Jesus. Remember, we said in John chapter 16 yesterday that the Lord Jesus said, it's just advantageous to you that I go so that I can send Him. It was just an odd statement when I first read it. Like, what? Well, you know, that it would be advantageous? Yeah, many respects, including your salvation, by the way, right? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And He closed that book. Boom. It's home. It's time to get to work. The Spirit is upon me. Let's get started. And His ministry got started. The Lord made it clear to His critics. He made it clear to His critics who empowered His works. Go to Matthew chapter 12. Go to Matthew chapter 12. And again, we're flipping through the gospel so you can see, if you read the gospels, you cannot escape the fact that the Lord, and you wouldn't want to, right? That the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit were inseparable. This is a proclamation from the Lord Jesus Christ Himself in Matthew chapter 12 and starting in verse 24. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does cast out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. It says, no way. They didn't deny what He was doing, right? They didn't deny that He didn't do it. They denied the power in which He was doing it. They couldn't deny the fact that He was doing good, so they tried to twist the story and say, you know how He's doing it? By the power of the devil. Because you know how the devil wants to heal people and make them happy. Right? It's just a little crazy. A little nutty. And Jesus knew their thoughts. He's God. And said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. You know, I sometimes stop and I try, I'm just weird. I try to recreate the scenario in my mind. And that's a high pressure situation, right? When the religious leaders of the day are just surrounding you and cornering you, and they're contemplating in their mind, and you're God, you can tell what He's thinking. And you know what's happening. And instead of rebuke and strong correction, He is as cool as a cucumber. I say that reverently. He's just calm, cool, collect, and His answers are so amazing. He says so much with so little. Can only be God. It can only be God. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. If Satan, and he knew what they were saying, what they were thinking, if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. And shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? If I'm doing good works and you're saying it's Beelzebub, you know, it's they're just so self-negating in everything they try to do. Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come upon you. Jesus said, I know how I'm doing it. I'm doing it by the Spirit of God. He answered his critics by saying, what I do in the power of the Spirit. And if Jesus, if you want to be more like Christ, and if you want to be conformed to the image of Christ, and if Christ did everything he did in the power of the Spirit, then what should we be doing? Doing it in the power of YouTube? Doing it in the power of AI? I don't know. You know, I'm a techie guy. I love tech. I'm not really a techie guy, but I work a lot with technology. It just kind of worked out that way. And I don't have anything against technology, but when we depend on technology, when Google has become your Holy Ghost, there's a problem. There's a problem. We need to depend upon God. You know, we don't want to memorize scripture anymore, because we can go to Google and go, you know, where does it say in the Bible, the blah, 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 blah. There goes the verse. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that when you're in the pinch, right? You know, trying to explain something to somebody. Again, I'm not saying anything against that. What I'm saying is, if you're doing that so that you won't spend quality time in God's Word, in His presence on a daily basis, then maybe you're depending on something else besides the Holy Spirit. It's a suggestion. It's not an accusation. Just want to say, be careful, because it can happen. It's addicting, right? It's easy. We live in a microwave society. We want everything right now. We want everything in 2 minutes. Why am I going to spend 20 minutes searching for a verse that I can get in like 6 seconds, as fast as I can type? Because the more time you spend in the Word of God, maybe God is going to take you somewhere else to see something else that you weren't looking for. Instead of proving somebody to be wrong, maybe he's going to whisper a little something to you. He does it. And, you know, I stand here, you know, guilty. I'm telling you that he does it. And I know that you know that he does it. So let's keep listening. Let's keep going through that experience with the Holy Spirit so that we can be conformed more into the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the Holy Spirit. In the conception of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we still see the Holy Spirit in many other works of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I got a few minutes here, so I'm just gonna race through some of these verses. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. The book of Romans, chapter 1. You can't hide from it. Look at Romans chapter 1. Everything that the Lord Jesus Christ was going through was in the power of the Holy Spirit. And if we are going to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, we need to acknowledge how inseparable he was with the Holy Spirit, and we should be too. Verse 4 of Romans chapter 1, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit. Listen to what it's called here. The Spirit of holiness, the Holy Spirit, by the resurrection from the dead. Have you been risen to newness of life? And if you have, the Holy Spirit is a big part of that. And it's only then and then can we continue to grow more and more like Jesus Christ. He was inseparable with the Holy Spirit. We need to be too. And if you've drifted away from knowing and experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit, maybe it's time to pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we're mindful now, Lord God, that perhaps maybe there are some here, I know I have, Lord, that while we sort of compartmentalize the Holy Spirit, and while we don't really depend upon him as much, we do talk about you, Jesus. We love you. We depend upon you. You are our strength, our all. You are everything to us, our Savior, our Master, our God, and you're our teacher. But Lord, you did what you did in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we want to learn how to do the same so that we can be just like you. Help us. Consistently fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit, that we too can proclaim to the naysayers that what we do is in the power of the Holy Ghost for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we pray. Amen.